And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall, joined by Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Judy, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be here as always, Tom.
Glad to have you. Judy joins us on Skype, and we want to talk about a new show at Cockpit in Court. They hold court at the Essex campus of the Community College of Baltimore County, and they've returned to the stage with an old chestnut called And Then There Were None. This is one of Agatha Christie's most popular whodunits. What do you think? Is it a good choice?
Well, in terms of familiarity, certainly. In terms of the timing of a show that piles death upon death, well, maybe it's best not to dwell on that. And the truth is, horror movies, disaster movies, thrillers, crime movies have all spiked in popularity during COVID. So in that sense, as pure escape, the timing is good. Interestingly, in terms of timing, the published script has two endings. One is from Agatha Christie's 1939 novel, and the other is from the original theatrical production that debuted in 1943. At Cockpit, the director, Linda Chambers, has chosen the darker 1939 version. I have to say, that's the one from the novel, and the novel has sold over 100 million copies. It is a major, major, major bestseller. So the choice is justifiable in those terms. This is what's called a locked room mystery, although the setting is an isolated island. 10 people find themselves stranded on this island. Granted, they're stranded in a very fancy mansion. They've all been summoned here by a couple none of them knows. Early on, the character of a doctor says, "I thought as I was coming across the mainland, what a haven of peace this was." So as soon as you hear that, you know it's going to be anything but. After all of the guests arrive, a gramophone record is played, and the record accuses each person of having committed or been involved in murders in the past. Soon, the island itself turns into the site of serial murders. One character is a judge, and well before the first person dies, he comes to a very scary conclusion. Let's listen.
Oh, yes, I've no doubt in my own mind that we've been invited here by a madman. Probably a dangerous, homicidal lunatic.
Oh, my God!
Whoever it is who has enticed us here, that person has taken the trouble to find out a great deal about us. A very great deal. And out of his knowledge concerning us, he has made certain definite accusations.
No better line for a British actor, or an actor to do, to say, oh my God, in a British accent. It's a fantastic thing. That's Tom Peters, Albert J. Borin, and the rest of the cast. And Then There Were None, at Cockpit in Court. So, Judy, we have 10 trapped characters, and they all disappear one by one. So how effective is Cockpit's cast at, you know, portraying these 10 people? Do we even care what happens to them?
Well, we don't care deeply, because these are not deeply drawn characters. They're types. And the director, Linda Chambers, makes sure that each character does have its own distinct quirks. Several performances stood out for me. The doctor specializes in treating nervous conditions, and Joey Hellman lets us see this doctor's own nerves starting to fray. Tom Peters, who plays the judge we just heard, the judge is retired, but the way Peters plays him, the judge's career spent meting out justice has made him excessively self-righteous. A romance develops between two characters, and these two performances in particular are standouts. Jake Stewart plays a soldier of fortune who's both a steady presence and a really smooth operator. The object of his affections is a secretary. Kai Malarkey starts out playing this secretary as a cool, clever businesswoman, but events in this house make even a cool secretary very uneasy as the play goes on. I brought a clip featuring these two. Early on, the secretary notices that there are 10 figurines of soldiers lined up on the mantelpiece, and that there's a nursery rhyme framed on the wall above them. The secretary thinks these figurines are sweet, but they start to vanish, and the rhyme starts to seem ominous. Here's Jake Stewart and Kai Malarkey. Let's listen.
My God, yes, that's our warning. 10 little soldier boys. There were 10 of us after Nericott went, weren't there? 10 little soldier boys went out to dine. One choked his little self. Marston choked himself, didn't he? Nine little soldier boys sat up very late. One overslept himself. Overslept himself. That last part fits Mrs. Rogers rather well, doesn't it?
You don't think. Do you mean that he wants to kill us all?
Kill us all. That was Jake Stewart and Kai Mularkey in Cockpit and Court's production of And Then There Were None. So, Judy, you call this a locked room mystery. So what's the room look like up at Cockpit?
Well, the scenery and the lighting are by Maurice Kahn III, and he has created an elegant living room. There's Queen Anne furniture, blue walls, French doors, architectural details like wainscoting and arched doorways. It's very easy to believe this is a grand home. It's the kind of place that would impress the play's guests, a place where they'd be honored to spend some time. I should also mention the sound design, which is by Terry Edwards, and reminds us repeatedly that this house is overlooking the sea. And he also provides appropriate sound effects when a storm plunges the house into darkness, which is kind of an inevitable occurrence in this kind of murder mystery.
So you mentioned that the play has two endings. Talk about those. Which do you think is the stronger ending? You mentioned that this director has chosen the 1939 ending from the novel. How does that compare to the other one, and what do you think?
Well, the published script includes a note from Agatha Christie's grandson, and he explains that the 1943 ending was the result of what was perceived to be the needs of the audience at a very dark time in history. That dark time was the midst of World War II, and the ending was softened. But I also find that 1943 ending more credible. I know this novel is beloved, but its ending, or at least the way the penultimate character meets its end, seems kind of unlikely and a little far-fetched. But that's the ending Cockpit is using, and though it's true to Agatha Christie's original intent, I can't say that this production makes it any more believable.
So, Judy, you saw this play indoors with a live audience. This is not one of those online-only deals. What was that experience like?
Well, it's being presented on Cockpit's main stage, the F. Scott Black Theater. Originally, it was supposed to be produced last July upstairs in Cockpit's smaller cabaret space. The show actually had just been cast when everything shut down in March of 2020, and they were able to bring back almost the entire cast a year later. In her director's note, Linda Chambers explains that this time around, they did a month of rehearsals on Zoom. Then they rehearsed in person starting once a week. Everyone was masked and tested as they entered the CCBC Essex campus. The audience is socially distanced. The college has kept attendance to less than one-third capacity. We're all wearing masks. Our temperatures are taken. Personally, I'm still not completely comfortable indoors, but Cockpit has taken precautions, and not to be too grim about it, but maybe venturing back inside adds to the mystery.
Yeah, maybe indeed. All right, And Then There Were None. It's up at Cockpit and Court on the Essex campus of the Community College of Baltimore County. It's there through the 25th of July. We've got information about tickets and stuff at wypr.org/midday. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we're going to go back to the garden with one of our favorite green thumbs, Carrie Engel, the plant specialist at Valley View Farms Nursery up in Cockeysville. She'll be taking your questions about summer plantings and anything else that's on your gardening agenda. So that's Back to the Garden tomorrow right here on Midday. And later tonight, be sure to download the Daily Dose podcast. That's WIPR's digest of the day's top local news stories. And hope you'll also check out the Chesapeake Connect podcast. That's a series of conversations that I'm hosting about regionalism. Stay tuned now for Here and Now. That's coming up right after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great day.
You're listening to your NPR News station, 88.1 WYPR.